Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. This is an extra special episode of the She Said Project podcast. I am so excited to jump right in the deep waters. You know who I am, Jeanette Jerzyk, National Director, Carrie Russo. What's up? What's happening? Blah, blah, blah. You ready?
Yep.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
Are you ready? Let's do this.
Okay. Been ready all day.
So normally on our podcast, we invite individual women who've been on the She Said stage to come yak it up with us, check in, listen to those amazing stories one more time. But today is super extra special because we have a duet of ladies who've appeared on our stage. So we have two guests with us today, very special friends of the She Said Project, friends of the community, friends to each other. Of course, I am talking about our mayor, Deb Finan, and our state's attorney, Julia Reitz. Whoop. Hello and welcome. We're so excited to have you guys in the WILL studio with us today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us to be sitting here with you guys in person. Always fantastic.
I know. Wait, I don't know that there are 6 feet between us. So hold on.
I don't think there needs to be any more, right?
Yeah. I'm 6 feet tall and we're in a little room. So
if you would lay down between us, Carrie, that will be our measuring stick.
Yeah. It just took a turn. It's getting weird in here.
This is one of the episodes where I wish we did the podcast on camera for like YouTuber whatever, because first of all, if our audience could see, we were practically dancing with excitement. Like if I could stand up and holler, I would.
If I wouldn't throw out a hip, I would. Yeah. No, I'm so excited because, well, for so many reasons, but one of the things that we never want to do is we don't want to just put women on that we've all already heard the story. They're on the speaker circuit. They're like, oh, yep, I've heard, you know, a form of this story before. And Deb and Julia were two women that I admired and loved and was hesitant because I thought this is going to be work for you, just more work, and asking you to be vulnerable so that people could see you in a girlfriend light and not see you in the roles that you typically are in. I really wanted people to see you as the girlfriends you are to each other, but how everybody else in your friendship circle sees you. Was it easy or was it a challenge to sort of drop that and just be girlfriends?
Well, I think it's always, I think maybe
the
we
beer
spent,
helped.
The beer helped, yeah.
We're not going to bring that up, you two.
But I was going to say, I think we're both very cognizant, and I don't want to speak for Julia, of the roles that we play in the community, right? And so, you know, I am careful on social media and in the public eye because I want to respect the role of mayor in the community that I am serving. And so letting down that guard a little bit to be just a human and not the mayor was challenging and made us a little vulnerable.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know that we did that so much, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, first of all, we struggled trying to even come up with what we were going to talk about. You kept saying, tell us about that time when. We didn't really have a that time when something scandalous happened because of, you know, of who we are. I think it wasn't until like a week or two before the actual show, sorry, Jeanette, that we really came up with what we were going to say. And we kind of took it upon ourselves to be the introduction to the concept, but not so much about telling a real in-depth story. To this day, and certainly then when we were getting to know the other ladies in our group who have become now really lifelong friends, we're all
for sure
really, really close to each other. Some of them just really exposed themselves and their story.
Wow.
That's what she said.
You're in the wrong crowd.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Wrong audience.
Told very personal stories about their history or what was going on in their lives in the moment. And I was so impressed and, you know, and sort of jealous in a way.
Yes.
Of them being able to do that. I mean, we all have stuff. I've got stuff, but I'm again not going to be, you know, putting that out there.
There are times where, because I've gone to other shows and I've gone to shows elsewhere because you're now the national director, right? So you get to go other places. And there are times where I hear other women's stories and I think, I wish I had had the courage to be a little bit more vulnerable or open. But then again, because of the roles we play in the community, I'm not sure that works. Maybe you'll have to have us back when we both retire to spill some beans.
The next chapter. Here's what I want to say, though. I'll pretend I wasn't sweating bullets in the weeks leading up to the show where we hadn't really solidified the content of your story. But I'm listening to you talk about how you couldn't tell stories. You couldn't, but you did. You found it. You found vulnerability in being real humans on a stage where you knew there was this pretense of who you are in the community. But what you two are is you are women of integrity. And at no point did we ever want you to lose that or break that integrity. But you found vulnerable moments. You found pieces of stories that got you emotional, got the audience emotional, made us laugh with your closing line. And I feel like we should just share the story because I'm going to give it all away if I'm not careful.
It's like me in college. Let's just go to the tape.
The name of your sex tape was what?
Giving it all away.
What is happening?
Giving it all away.
What is happening here?
Yeah. Okay. Truthfully told, that was actually what my college was more like, but I'm a big talker.
What is happening here?
Yes.
It wasn't real. It wasn't real. Fake it till you make it, Carrie Rosso.
Sorry.
All right. We're going to edit some of that out. Yeah. Just take a note that we're going to have to do some editing here. Okay. But what we are going to do is we're going to allow our listeners in on what we're talking about. We're going to play the performance from the actual show. Deb and Julia appeared on stage in 2019 in our flagship community of Champaign-Urbana, and that's what she said. So take a listen to their story entitled A Mayor and a State's Attorney Walk Into a Bar. Oh, no, A Mayor and a State's Attorney Walk Onto a Stage.
With a beer.
With a beer.
Two beers.
Here you go. Enjoy.
Madam Mayor.
Madam State's Attorney.
Well, here we are on stage at That's What She Said. It is much bigger than I thought it would be.
That's what she said!
Carrie Rosso's mind is in the gutter.
And we're surrounded by these amazing women.
Amazing women.
Who are here to tell their stories.
You know, I am just in awe of all of these women and of the women who have come before us over the past 5 years to tell their stories. I have laughed. I have cried.
Was it better than cats?
It was better than cats. Honestly, though, I've been overwhelmed by the courage it takes for people to come and share their stories from this stage. So, what stories are we going to tell? You know, Carrie's probably Facebook Live-ing this right now. It's going to be all over the place, social media. So, how about that time when you...
No, but that time when you...
Oh, no. We're not talking about that.
How about a demonstration about how you celebrate your birthday?
Do you really think that they want to hear my really bad karaoke version of Redneck Women?
Yes.
No.
I know
you
I do.
That requires a few shots of liquid courage. And anyway, that Facebook thing. So.
Well, the truth is that we've known each other for more than 25 years, and there really aren't any scandals between us.
Between us?
But sometimes I can't go to the grocery store without someone mistaking me for you.
You know, if I had a dollar for every time someone asked me if I was the mayor, I would make a really nice donation to your reelection campaign. Seriously, though, I agree. The Netflix version of our relationship would probably be pretty boring. Two women who mutually respect each other, get along, like each other, in local government in a Midwest college town. I don't know that that's really binge-worthy material.
Probably not, but unfortunately, in today's world, it's probably a unique story.
Yeah, true, unfortunately.
But seriously, isn't the point of She Said that every woman has a story to tell, and some are every day, and some are tragic, and some are about the wonderful women who have supported us along the way? I know I've been surrounded by many women who've influenced my life.
Great idea. Instead of talking about ourselves, let's talk about them.
Sounds good. So, you know, I've lived here my whole life. I'm a real townie.
So living here 25 years doesn't make me a townie?
Nope. But maybe an honorary one. You know, my mom isn't a real townie either, and she was circuit clerk for 25 years.
So was she a tiger mom?
Well, kind of. You know, when I was 3 or 4, my family lived in married student housing, and I went to the co-op nursery school. And we used to ride the bus from our apartment to the school, not because we couldn't walk, but because I loved to ride the bus. Sounds like some MTD people here. And so we got to know the bus driver, who, of course, loved me.
Of course.
And told my mom that I was precocious, and I chatted with him. And so one day, I asked my mom if I could ride the bus by myself.
When you were 4?
When I was 4. And my mom, who thought that it was important to raise very, very fierce girls, like Erin Tarr would say, decided that I should ride the bus by myself. And she arranged with the bus driver for me to get on. I paid him, and she ran like crazy to the school so she'd be there to help me get off. And I rode the bus by myself. And I am convinced that without that push towards independence and so many more along the way growing up, that I wouldn't be mayor today. And she's in the audience.
Well, when I was 4, my mother falsified my birth certificate to beat the December 1st deadline so that I could go to kindergarten a year early. For 6 years, I thought my birthday was in November instead of January. On the plus side, the year I figured that out when I changed schools and had to re-enroll, I had 2 birthdays. And I can tell that story now because the statute of limitations has long passed. But I do always think about how different my life would be if my mother had not committed a major felony in order to get me out of the house a year early.
So seriously, though, is this where you thought you'd end up?
Oh, not even close. When I was young, I thought I would be a diplomat living in Europe with my boyfriend, who I had met when I was a foreign exchange student in Switzerland. That one did not work out. But we are Facebook friends.
So this is a real story?
True story, not fake news.
Okay.
Seriously, though, when you and I met as young lawyers, I was married, I had a child, I had a job, and I was really focused on the day-to-day things that you focus on when you're a young person. Life seemed pretty simple. Ever since then, the world has changed. My daughter Alice is 23 now, and so many things have changed during her lifetime. I remember when she was about 5, we went on a trip to Florida, and we were flying. It was shortly after September 11th, and we were in the airport, and we got pulled aside, and she had to take off her tiny little white Keds so that they could be checked for explosives. I was angry, and it was at that moment that I really realized that the world wasn't as safe as I thought it was.
Yeah, 25 years ago, I was sure that I knew who I was, and I knew what I believed. It was all black or white, very little shades of gray.
Have things changed for you?
Yep, today I think I'm a very different person. I'm changed by my life in public service and all the amazing people that I've met who are different from me. 25 years ago, I would have firmly told you that I believed in the Second Amendment and that every law-abiding citizen had the right to carry a gun. And after holding a mom whose child has been shot to death, and comforting a church full of distraught teenagers the same age as my own daughter, I can tell you without a doubt that I have changed.
Unfortunately, in my job, I've learned that lesson too many times over the past 25 years.
Yeah, can you tell us some of the people who've had that impact on your life?
I have always been in awe of the strength of women dealing with crisis. They have definitely shaped me in the decisions that I make. When I was in private practice, I had a client whose child was taken from her and was in DCFS custody. She hung signs all over her house that said, "The baby is all that matters." She worked every day to solve her problems so that she could get her child back. She definitely affected how I view those cases when I'm on the other side as a prosecutor. I have worked with, met with, sat with mothers who have lost their children to gun violence, to drunk drivers, and also with the mothers whose children have caused those deaths. They were all grieving. They were all trying to find some strength to go forward. They were all trying to do that, and many of them with compassion for each other and understanding of what the other had lost. There is always, I think, beauty in tragedy. I sent a 19-year-old to prison for beating a 3-year-old to death. Absolute tragedy. But I have had the honor of seeing two wonderful women take that 3-year-old's little sister, who was also abused, adopt her and raise her into a beautiful, joyful young woman. I call her the silver lining in a very dark cloud. And we are Facebook friends.
For sure.
So tell me about some of the people who have stood out for you in your legal career.
Well, I've often seen our community come together in crisis. Do you remember Aretha Crawford?
Wasn't she the homeless lady who lived on University Avenue?
She did, and I also remember that she would be near Booker T. Washington School. My sister remembers that when she would walk through the playground, the teachers would gather the students and run them inside to keep them safe. And she lived in our community with what I thought were no mental health services and absolutely nobody caring for her.
Were there actually people caring for her?
There were. I got asked to be the lawyer in her guardianship case, and I found out that there were women that were bringing her food on the street, and there was a woman who had unlocked her door and left it open so Ms. Aretha could come inside and sleep if she wanted to. Together with them, I was able to obtain a guardianship, and Ms. Aretha then moved to assisted living, where she was cared for off the streets and provided mental health services.
That is an example of what an amazing community we live in. So many strong women, so many amazing stories. For me, though, the two most important women in my life are my daughters. Local politics can be pretty hard on a family. You grew up with your mother in politics, so you know that, and now your daughters are sharing the same experience.
They are. They tell me that they have never watched a 4th of July parade. They've always walked in them.
Mine are seasoned parade veterans as well. They have patiently, or not so patiently, listened to me talk to people in grocery stores or be talked at by people in grocery stores. They have handled all of the burdens of growing up and handled the good and bad decisions that we make as their parents. They have done that with amazing strength and wisdom. They are two amazing, beautiful young women, and I hope that they've learned a little bit of that from me.
I'm sure they did. And like your daughters, mine have grown up with a mom in the spotlight. We talk a lot about being kind and that what you do matters. And that lesson was really brought home 4 years ago when I was running for mayor the first time. And my oldest, who was 13 at the time, was out knocking on doors with a friend down the street from where I was, and she went up to the door and she knocked on the door, and the woman opened the door and took the brochure from my daughter's hand, looked into my daughter's eyes and said, "I'll never vote for that bitch. She was mean to me in high school." And then she slammed the door in my daughter's face.
Do you know who she was? What is it that you did to her?
I don't know, but we're probably Facebook friends. Or she's probably in the audience tonight.
No one's standing up.
But my daughter, I think, did really learn from that lesson, the impact that what we do matters and that we do have an impact on the people around us.
Well, these past 25 years have been an amazing experience, and I am lucky to call you my friend. People ask me all the time, if you could change something in your life or do something differently, what would you do? And I always say, I wouldn't do anything differently. I wouldn't change a thing. Because if I changed anything, then I wouldn't have the life that I have today. I wouldn't have the family that I have today. I wouldn't have the amazing job that I have. I wouldn't have the friends who surround me. So, if you could change anything, what would you do differently?
I wouldn't have been such a bitch to that girl in high school.
Okay, so I thought we had promised that we weren't going to talk about the beer. So I have some rules for the show, like no F-bombs, no drinking before or during the show. And these two riffraff hid some beer behind pillows right out of the gates. So when you're saying maybe we didn't really present as girlfriends, I think everybody right then, any preconceived ideas they had of, seriously, I thought this was supposed to be a fun night and we have our mayor and state's attorney opening. This is going to get crazy. And then you guys pulled those out and it was, I mean, hello, you ended the show with redneck woman. I mean, come on.
I didn't, what?
Julia ended the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have video.
We have proof.
But and actually, I have continued that performance since then and it gets better and better every time. So I thank you, my family and friends. Thank you for really making that a part of my repertoire.
I think Deb had something to do with that, though. You called her out on her birthday performance.
Yeah, I think maybe. Could have been.
I think that's true. And I think that I loved that part of it because that was everything that I'd hoped you guys would do. One, that people would see you in a different light. And two, that you did open and set the tone. It doesn't matter what you do. You can be super serious, have a job that is really weighing on you, or you can be a stay-at-home mom, or you can just be like, whatever, but we're going to have fun tonight. And that set the tone, and then you closed it out. I mean, it was just,
well,
I loved it.
I think also in politics, there are rules, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I'm out at an event and where people are taking pictures, I consciously or subconsciously, if I have a glass of wine in my hand, I put it down or something.
For sure.
Like that, you know? And so I think that decision was also kind of to break some of those rules for women in politics or in the public eye and just say, you know what, we can walk up to this table and with a beer in our hand and sit down and not be the mayor and the state's attorney. In that, really,
we are over 21,
formal. Right? We are.
You are the liquor commissioner.
So you're right. You know, I mean, I think you're right. We did want to kind of break that barrier.
You did. You set a tone of
even if it was breaking.
I don't know why you thought I would be upset, but there was this big hush hush. Don't tell Jeanette.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get
backstage.
So much trouble. Like this is junior
well, we
high all over
been
again.
Passing them out to other people on. I mean, it wasn't like anybody was like wasted on stage,
right, no.
But you know, we were just
it was funny.
But it opened
beers.
The show with that atmosphere of this is real, people. Like this is our moment. We're just gonna get real, and that's exactly what you did. It was like you're. Just we're human.
Well,
we're
and real. I think again, really, yes, we were hiding backstage from mom, you know, because we all didn't want to get in trouble. But again, you know, I want to thank you both really
for sure.
Creating this friendship group that we have and that continues to, you know, to be part of our lives. I mean, we run into each other in the community. We all take a selfie and send it to each other. Look who I saw. You know, we text each other, we send pictures,
we perform
do each other's weddings.
I bear witness, Julia married Monica Sammy.
Which was an amazing honor. So to be able to be a part of these other amazing women's lives is such a gift, and we owe that to you too.
And I would say I was skeptical going in, and Jeanette knows this. Carrie's nodding yes. First of all, I was skeptical that I could be vulnerable enough with a group of strangers to just be Deb, right? Like, I have a group of close friends where that's true for me. You guys are part of that. But again, because of the roles we play in the community, it can be hard to let that guard down. And I thought there is no way in the amount of time of us getting together on stage and putting on the show that I'm going to have new best friends out of this deal. And it happened despite me being skeptical. And they are delightful, amazing women that I am so lucky to have in my lives. And everybody has each other's backs in so many different ways. There's the group chat, whatever you need will rally behind you. But it's also the individual, like Monica having you do her wedding, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Mary walking in the parade.
Mary walking in the parade. Mary dropping off food at my house all the time because she's amazing. And we all help each other in ways that you just don't even know or see. It's a lifelong friendship that was born out of one night on stage.
You have a very special cast. I agree with you. But to echo what you're saying, you're right. Carrie invented the formula. And I don't know that that was so intentional, but it evolved as this formula that when you put a group of women together, you create the safe space. And you get rid of all the small talk and all the surface stuff. You go right for the story. You go right for the real stuff. The bond happens very quickly in a way that you don't get in everyday life. And I'm honored to say I've seen it happen again and again and again. So this formula is working. And I have the extreme honor to keep polishing it and keep trying it again and again and allowing for women to come together in this way. And it is just, it's just the honor of my life. I cannot even explain how much this mission means to me.
And how fun it is to watch those friendships and seeing those things play out either in person or on social media, especially on the bigger stage right now. Again, I mean, we say this every year, every election, like, oh, it's so divisive right now. But I really, really feel like now is a difficult time. And I think of how different each cast is. You know, we really try hard to have a cast that is diverse and that isn't just a reflection of our peer group or our friends, that it's a diverse group. And in every show, I also, some people know this, I always try to put someone in the cast that I have a visceral reaction to. And so sometimes there are people like, it's me, right? You didn't like me. Because I think, I'm like, yeah, it was you. But no, because I think proving to ourselves that just because you have this stereotype of someone, whether Republican, Democrat, gay, straight, black, white, whatever the differences are that keep us from connecting, if you take all of that off the table and put a bunch of women in a group, I really feel like that group of women will come out like this group you're describing.
Oh, absolutely. And I can say when I initially got the list, I was kind of apprehensive, like, I don't know if I can be vulnerable in front of that person.
Me too.
There were many parking lot conversations that really got me over that and opened me up.
And I think that people forget that there are real humans connected. I always talk about, it's sort of the Jennifer Aniston on the cover of People syndrome, right? So you're standing in line at the checkout line and you're like, man, her lipstick's ugly. Look at that haircut, right? She doesn't seem like a real person.
This platform gets to create opportunity to make those connections for people here again and again and again. And as we grow in new communities, to open up minds and open up hearts and open up perspective so that we can all connect deeper as women. Because what Carrie created in this community, I just watched the women in this community were so hungry to have something like this to call their own, to hold on to experience together. We had to keep it going. And it is growing because, again, the formula, there's some power there. There's some magic there that make women feel something.
Well, and going back to what Julia was saying earlier on, I can get up and tell jokes or crack vagina one-liners all day long, but I cannot get up and tell like my deepest, darkest stuff. So when I see these women being brave enough to do it, it serves something for me too. Like, I might be the vagina talker, but that those pieces also serve me.
Carrie Russo, vagina talker.
Every episode. Every episode. She finds a way to squeeze it in.
But yeah. I will say, though, even though I personally may have been uncomfortable standing up on the stage and telling something very personal about myself, I was able to have those conversations with that group of ladies, and mm-hmm. particularly even those conversations with women that I didn't think I would be able to be that open with for, you know, when I came into it. So again, exactly. I might not have shared everything on the stage other than my, you know, ability to lip sync
to light up a
music.
Room.
Yeah, but that takes
I have had the opportunity to share parts of myself, of my life with other women in a way that I'm comfortable doing mm-hmm. because of this show.
And I would say, even though Julia and I have been friends for a very long time, the experience made us closer.
Absolutely.
And it was, I mean, it was the before times, right? I mean, the timing of that as we went into 2020 and the amount of work we did together over the course of the last 2 years, having that base of trusting each other, not only were we vulnerable, I suppose, for an audience, but to go on stage together and know we had each other's back, we weren't gonna embarrass each other, we recognized what we were doing out there, set the stage for us as we did a lot of really hard work in the last couple of years.
Yes.
That's true trust building, true team
absolutely.
Building.
And yeah. I think it's the timing that we were the show of the before times, mm-hmm. really, and then being isolated, and you know, I think that enhanced our group's friendship
for sure
and connection. But I completely agree, you and I, Deb and I, were on the daily basis communicating with each other, with Julie Pride, another one of your She Said mm-hmm. ladies, making decisions that affected the, you know, the health and safety of this community. Sometimes they were not popular decisions. They were difficult decisions. But I mean, I always said, you know what, if at the end somebody said you didn't have to do all of that, I would say that's great because you're alive and we can have this conversation.
Right.
You know? And so that relationship was key, absolutely, to getting us through that time.
And we trusted each other. So, I mean, and again, we were friends before that, but the trust was there to really do it and to support each other. So we had the official conversations about, you know, what rules do we need to impose and how are we going to enforce them? But then we had the, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, because we're both early morning people, you know, like, how are you today? And, you know, how are you handling all of this? And, you know, what's your life like? Kinds of discussions, too.
Because you needed that. You needed someone who understood what it was like to be you on that side. I want to share that Carrie and I both have gotten the feedback after you two appeared on stage that we heard people say, oh my gosh, I never knew that Deb was so funny. I never knew, you know, some of the things that they had been through or that they'd been friends or, and that was exactly what we had hoped for, that our community would see you as real people, real women, real experiences. You know, you have daughters. You know, what kind of feedback did you get from the community or from your family about what you shared that night?
You know, I think people enjoyed the show. It wasn't so much about us, right? There were, as we talked about, so many women being so vulnerable that I think that was the highlight. But certainly, it was funny. I had a good group of friends who came. We've always come to the shows together, so they came without me to watch. And a couple of them knew the story, but not all of them. And they were pretty surprised by it. And I think, delighted that we were able to do something so fun and to just be who we are and not have to be a state's attorney and mayor. How about you?
I just keep going back to the the friend group and the relationships that we have created. You know, my husband knows I say, you know, oh, I've got a she said thing, you know, I'm going to do this or
code.
You
know. It's code.
and it's truly a part of my life, besides the constant requests to, you know, belt out a few lyrics of
Julia's in the house.
Get her a mic.
I will admit that if I am either having a good day or a really hard day, that I will put on the music from the show. And it's, you know, three or four songs, right? But I've got my She Said playlist and I'm dancing in my bedroom while I'm getting dressed or in the shower. And that gives me whatever I need for the day because I feel connected to everybody.
You're right. We keep developing the She Said soundtrack. It's happening. There's going to be something more official at some point, but music is so powerful and such a part of it. And we end a lot of our shows with music, but it really connects everyone at the end of the day. I have had so much fun watching your friend group and bearing witness mm-hmm. to the relationships and the jokes and the support and the love. It's really magical. So I want to thank you for all of it.
Ending the show with This Is Me was beautiful. First of all, you had Monica and Estella singing it, which was just
amazing.
And Katie amazing.
Flynn,
and
the
Katie
wonderful
Flynn,
Katie Flynn.
Absolutely. So for me, that song, when I'm on my way to work and I'm getting ready for a rough day, I will put that song on. And if you are like in the car next to me, you will think that I'm completely insane because I am just
Let's
belting
go.
It out with the hands and the whole thing, you know, and the fist pumps. And I'm just so that song is really an amazing anthem to get me going in a positive direction. So thank you again.
Well,
so many things to thank you for.
Well, I'm thinking you guys, this is me. I mean, it really symbolizes you're a woman alone on a stage. This is my story. This is me. That's what we do. That's what she said. So I hate to do this, but that is all the time that we have to chat with our dear friends, Deb and Julia from the 2019 show. That's What She Said in Champaign-Urbana. Carrie, I love being back in the studio. This is magical. We were on Zoom for a while, but we kept it going. And that's what's important is we have some work to do. We have a lot of women out there that we want to empower with your story and with their stories. And we're just going to keep doing what we do here at the She Said Project. Thank you for listening.
And we're proud of you.
Aw, thanks, guys. Over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.